Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Meaningful Conversations, the radio show powered by RD Solutions Marketing Firm. I'm your host, Erica Harrison, and I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to tune into tonight's broadcast. These conversations are meant to uplift, empower, motivate, and encourage you to go from potential to purpose. For each show, we interview business professionals in various industries to share their journey to success. Our mission is to empower world leaders and business professionals in the marketplace. Today, I had the opportunity to interview Natalie Greaves as we discuss leveraging your power. Make sure to like, comment, and share tonight's show. The chat box function is available for anyone to use to ask questions or to make comments, so make sure you make use of it. Natalie Greaves is the founder of Greaves Communication Strategies, marketing, PR, and content producer for do-gooders and great ideas. She has held key positions from being a public affairs manager for the Wall Street Journal, communication project manager for NARS, director of communications for Donald McDonald House in New York, now a founder and CEO of Greaves Communication Strategies. Natalie Greaves helps entrepreneurs, enterprises, nonprofit organizations, and individuals enhance their sales and marketing process through the power of storytelling. She currently makes marketing strategies accessible ideas, but limited resources. If you are tuning into tonight's show, please make sure that you share on this broadcast. These interviews are really, like I said, meant to uplift people. So make sure that you share with your network and your community. It'll be greatly appreciated. So in the meantime, until Miss Natalie calls in, we're going to go ahead and just put it on hold. If anyone has any questions, any comments, it is going to be a really good show. So I'm excited for tonight. I am excited. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, Facebook, as well as LinkedIn. We post actively, and I'm sure that you will be able to get a lot of use and content on those platforms as well. So just bear with me, guys, while we wait for Miss Natalie to call in. She should be calling in soon. If you are interested in being a part of Meaningful Conversations and want to be interviewed, please check the bio above. Feel free to go to www.rdsolutionsmarketingfirm.com, and we can go ahead and schedule a pre-screening so you can go ahead and be on the show. Hello, Miss Greaves. How are you?
Hi, Erica. I am fantastic. How are you?
I am doing good. Well, I want to welcome you to the show, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to do this interview.
Absolutely. It is a pleasure and an honor, and most definitely, I think the most exciting part about having a conversation with you is, even though this is on the air, it feels like it could be a chat with someone I already know, or someone that I've known for a long time, I should say. And so I really do appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And thank you for the platform. Thank you for creating a space where people can have, like you said, meaningful conversations where we can talk about the things that help to keep us whole and focused and healthy, especially in these changing times.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And I already went over, you know, who you are, but, you know, and that's impressive. But I always love to dissect and go deeper. So I want to go back to your earlier years before you held these prominent positions and working for these, you know, enterprises. Tell me a little bit about you being a New York native. You're originally from New York. What were, where dreams are made of, you know, that's the saying. Share with us what were some of your desires, you know, growing up. What did you want to be?
That's a good question. I didn't really know Gosh, how does one even answer that question? So I didn't know what I wanted to be. I think for a long time, I grew up in a very traditional Caribbean family in the sense of you grow up to become a doctor or a lawyer, some respectable position that mom can brag about. And I was not interested in anything in the medical profession. I certainly was not attracted to, I have a pretty good grasp of logic, which did come in handy when I did figure out what I wanted to be, but being an attorney wasn't that thing. And for many years, I thought I wanted to be an accountant.
Wow.
Until I started interning with an accounting firm and realized I was bored to tears. But the flip side was I got this internship in college. I started doing that. I was not interested in the accounting work. But the joke was I became known as sort of the PR lady because I was so interested in people and my colleagues and the clients and the actual people who work there. And at some point when I was almost done with school, I was told, you know, you should consider this career in PR or something in communication. And it worked. Who knew?
Wow.
It came full circle. By the time I graduated, I was working in PR and tech PR at that time, actually, doing a lot of grunt work, just to clarify. There's nothing about it that was super glamorous, but definitely there was a lot of photocopying, a lot of, you know, being treated like the young kid who doesn't know anything. But at the same time, still getting an opportunity to understand the importance of process and that nothing happens overnight. And most importantly, seeing how communication and teams really do help to make the, you know, teamwork, you know how to say teamwork makes the dream work, how it really does help to make things come together when you have good, solid, healthy communication. And that's what brought me here today.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, it is impressive. And for the ones that, you know, our audience that is tuning in, could you just explain exactly what is PR, what is a PR professional, and how it is important, how it's an important asset to your business?
Sure. So when I started doing PR back in the 90s, right, I'm going to date myself now, PR was a completely different thing than it is now. Back then, you could write press releases. Basically, in a nutshell, it's packaging your client's news and introducing it to the world. And back then, you did that almost exclusively through the media. You wrote a press release, you approached a reporter or a producer, and you worked with them on the development of a story. It's a little bit different from advertising in that you pay for the space when it's advertising. But in PR, it's more where you're kind of using the power of persuasion and the understanding of what news trends are and what people want to know about. And hopefully if your client has something worthwhile, there's an opportunity for you to pitch a really good story that will somehow create greater meaning and have a great impact in the community. Well, introduce social media and its ability to provide greater access to the people that we see on our TVs, our phones, et cetera. And then next thing you know, there's no need for these, not say there's no need, but there's less of a need for people to be writing press releases and going through formal processes. Nowadays, what you would typically put into a press release, a celebrity can put in a tweet and you're off to the races. So I think, yeah, the nature of the industry and the way that we go about doing our work has certainly changed because now everyone has access to these tools that connect us. However, the importance of having a good strategy, marketing, whether it's just simply looking at it from a marketing perspective or looking at the whole package of everything related to how you promote your business, your service, or whatever it is that you're trying to do in the moment, because it could also be a nonprofit. I think that when you approach these things, when you approach these tactics, whether or not you have a good grasp of the tools, it's most important to have a strategy. So what I do nowadays is I help people to come up with a really good strategy that helps them to get the news out about the impact of their work, but that it doesn't revolve around having $7,000 a month for, which is nice if you got it, but having $7,000 a month for an agency.
Wow. I'm so glad that you really broke down how PR has evolved basically over the years in the decades. I'm glad that you brought that clarity and that understanding. I always like to educate our audience and not assume that they know, so we can build from these questions and answers.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that communication is a huge factor in what you do. Can you let us know how this has cultivated your communication style working in this industry?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. What has it done to my communication style? I think that my communication style has definitely evolved over the years, because if you work in a marketing business in any capacity, you might also have like an informal minor in psychology. Yeah, because you get to, I mean, the whole purpose of doing this work is to understand that your client has a desire to reach people and to fulfill a need. And so your job is to figure out what are the right words, what are the right methods and ways and approaches to help that client communicate the importance of their work. And so sometimes you're also put in a position where you need to also anticipate what your client's needs are going to be, or where you see things headed based on your knowledge and experience of business cycles and just how news is received and public sentiment.
Mm.
And so I think a really good example of that would be when we talk about someone doing something for optics, or something, or, you know, you see an incident, you see a photo or something on social media, and you hear someone say that it's bad optics. What they're ultimately mm-hmm. saying is, there's something about that image or video that just doesn't sit well in context, or maybe it's not going to be received well because it is maybe a little inconsistent with the way that the average public sentiment is, the way that average people feel about stuff. You know, are we going to – a perfect example is as we are still dealing with the effects of a pandemic on our third year of it, right? And then you have people complaining about how they're just, you know, no one wants to work. Is the issue really just no one wants to work, or is it that we've lost so many people?
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of times communication requires you to take a step back and put empathy into what you say before you say it, especially when you're representing a company or a person. So I definitely think that has been a big part of it, and the most important other part of it has been the evolution of storytelling. You know, people think that when you get into business and you're describing, especially if you're a founder of a startup, you are describing your product or your service and you're talking about why it's great, and that moves no one. But if you can tell a story about how your inspiration behind this product or the creation of this product or this idea, and you can tell the story about it, and it's something that inspires and something that people can relate and connect to based on their own experiences, you'll probably get a much better response. If you can tell a story about how your particular product or service or idea, your concept, has changed someone's life, you're taking the image of, you're just basically taking hold of the other person's imagination and helping them to get a better understanding of the heart and soul behind your idea. And that's ultimately what you want to do using the power of words. I think people are intimidated about it because it's akin to public speaking. Who gets up and says, hey, I want to talk about myself all the time? I know we probably meet more people like that in marketing than the average person does, but for the most part, there is a small bit of intimidation and trepidation about it. However, when you break down how to take a story and make it your own and tell it in your own words with your own accent and with your own passion, then it is a much easier and more, as I call it, accessible process. And I think that's ultimately what we want to encourage people to do more in business settings, as opposed to put on the big shoulder pads and the IBM blue suits and just talk over people's heads and then wonder why they're not getting the sales that they want.
Right. I'm sorry.
Right?
I love that, because you actually went into my next question and you answered it. You know, I wanted to say, because we do live in a time where we often hear not only as business professionals, but as people, that we need to embrace our story. And so many people are ashamed. So you hit on that. And just how important that is when it comes to your business. Why do you believe storytelling is impactful when it comes to a business?
Absolutely. I think the storytelling is impactful because if I can't visualize where you're trying to take me, then I can't invest in what you're trying to tell me. I can't invest in the journey, right? So if you're just telling me that something is great, yeah, sure, wonderful. I'll take your word for it, and then I'll just keep on going about my business. But if you can show me in such a way that you kind of, you know, pique my interest and you get me to see the journey as something that I might either want to undertake as my own or I might want to join you on, then absolutely, that's where the power of storytelling comes in. It's one thing if I start a business and I say, I'll use myself as an example. There are millions of women who start businesses every day. My reason for starting a business is because I'm a busy mom and a caregiver, and I came to a crossroads when it was time to take that leap from preschool to kindergarten. And I knew that I wanted to be more present. I knew for my daughter, and I knew that I wanted to be more present for my parents, and I knew that I was going to need a lot more time available and flexibility than I did have when I was working in Manhattan with an hour and a half commute. Anything can happen. Any kind of an emergency can pop up during that time. And I knew that I was not going to be able to make it in time, heaven forbid something happened. And so I decided I love what I do. I love doing it for business owners kind of like myself. And I don't ever have the time to do that also because I'm always sitting on a bus or a train somewhere. So out of frustration, I took that leap. And you know, it's probably one of the scariest leaps that I've ever taken in life, you know, probably behind parenthood, because that's a whole other journey you're never fully prepared for. But at the same time, it's been one of the most rewarding and gratifying things, because there are so many times, good and bad, that I've been so grateful that I was able to be present and that I have a business that allows me to have the flexibility. It took a while to figure out how to carve it out, but to be able to do exactly what I said I wanted to do. And that's an example of storytelling. I could say, you know, I do marketing consulting because it's good for the business, it's good for the community, and I like writing press releases. That moves no one. But if I say, you know, I was a busy mom who was working far away from home, and I knew that I wanted to be able to do what I loved and do it in a way that allowed me to be present for graduations and school plays, class trips, and emergency room visits, that's a whole different, you know, it's a different way to tell a story. And that's ultimately what you want to do. Yeah.
Right. I love that. And I hope that you all are taking some notes, because she is giving some gems, okay? And I don't take that for granted at all. So that's kind of segue from you from you leaving the corporate arena and entering into business for yourself. Looking for some of the most prominent businesses, what caused you to step away from the corporate arena and go into business for yourself?
Oh, yeah, frustration. Like I said, frustration of not knowing that I was about to take a huge shift in my own personal life with regard to the time that was needed to be around for my daughter. And then also knowing that my parents were getting older, and also knowing that I was tired of doing the commute. I was tired of the commute. I was tired of dealing with, I think as a marketer or creative in general, you get to a point where you hit a plateau where you're tired of doing the same thing that you've been doing. And I kept meeting these founders, especially founders of color, who had really incredible stories and ideas and just needed someone to guide them. And I knew how to do it. I've been doing it since the 90s when I was working with tech founders in startups. But at the same time, I didn't have the time to work with them, and I didn't have the structure. And I wanted to change that. And so just it just became all of these frustrations kind of collided into each other and created the perfect storm and an opportunity to do something different. And that's how I began to work for myself. But it was a trip.
Wow. So let me ask you this question, and I think that this is important as well. So those that are wanting to enter into this field of PR, or storytelling, you know, just being a content creator. What advice would you give this young professional, either them leaving college, you know, after college, and wanting to start their business? What advice would you give them?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think the most important advice I would give to someone considering a career in PR or considering anything that involves storytelling for a business is understanding the basics of journalism and what editors and producers consider a news hook. Once you have an understanding of that most fundamental principle, then I think it makes it a lot easier for you to identify what's considered newsworthy and why people will care. And how do you understand what a news hook is? It's very simple. Ask yourself the question, is this person, is this thing, after hearing this, are they going to be okay? Are you going to drop a note of detail that's going to hook the person who's either reading, listening, or watching that makes them say, oh, I gotta hang in there and see how this ends? The same way that we do it with reality TV shows, it's the same fundamental principle. How we leave shows with cliffhangers at the end of every season, the same way that we read the first few lines of a story and then we decide that we're going to continue to read that story, there's always a hook somewhere in there. So when you understand what the hook is, and you know how to make readers or your audience wonder if the hero in your story is going to be okay, then you know you've mastered the basics.
Ooh, that was master the basics. I like how you ended that. I love it. That was so good. So the number one question, how did you learn to leverage with all your expertise and experience and knowledge, wisdom? How did you learn to leverage your power in your business?
Erica, I think that's a loaded question because I think we're all still learning. I think I can't speak for your listeners, but I do feel as though that we are all still learning every day about how to do what we do better and the way in which we do it. I think that when we all start out in business, and this is also for the younger listeners as well, when you start out, there's this common conception that everything is supposed to be perfect. Everything is supposed to run across a respectability template. And if you follow these steps, then life will be easy breezy. You know, everything will be peachy and wonderful, and you will have accomplished, you know, all manner of success. And that's not true. Things happen. Life happens. Things go left. You know, you lose people, you lose opportunities, you lose jobs, you lose money, you lose your home, heaven forbid. Things go bad. And there are a lot of times that you're just not prepared for what happens when that does occur. And I think that for any person who's listening, when you talk about leveraging your power, what's most important is to keep going. And I know that that's hard because there have been some days when I have just felt like I absolutely cannot get out of bed. I actually have a story. There was a time when I was working at the Ronald McDonald House, and I was just so exhausted from work and juggling motherhood and everything else, and I just did not feel it to get out of bed. I could not do it. I actually forced myself to get up and went into work that day just feeling like, I don't really want to be here. I don't really want to do this. Now, let me tell you, those days when that happens, that's usually when something, because you showed up, I don't know if you can hear the noise. I have a plane flying overhead. That day, when I showed up, I got the call that the Pope was in town for his visit, and he wanted to, his people were willing to provide a special audience to the pediatric cancer patients at my job. And so, I mean, in a flash, you know, they'd rounded up as many families as they could who were available, who were home from treatment, and, you know, bussed everyone over for them just to have a few minutes. It was not on his schedule, but they knew there were a few minutes to fit it in. And in that moment, in that opportunity, there was an opportunity for me to just take some photos of the Pope, which would have meant an amazing thing to my grandmother, where she's still with us today. But it was just one of those reminders of sometimes even when you don't feel like showing up, regardless of what the thing is that you need to show up for, sometimes if you just keep going and just do it anyway, show up however you can, you'll be surprised where the day's events will take you. And I still reflect on that. And again, whether I'm not Catholic, and I have no thoughts whatsoever toward whether I like or don't like or would not know about how your audience feels about the Pope, but just being able to be witness and a participant in that outstanding moment, it was definitely something I would have missed if I didn't get out of bed that morning.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest, you know, regardless of religion or color, everyone knows the Pope, you know,
right.
And he's a prominent individual, okay, amongst the earth in different nations. So, you know, that definitely is a story, even with you saying that, it resonated with me to just continue to push, like you said.
Right. I mean, listen, and there are going to be so many days in the entrepreneurial journey, especially where you will just get up and just feel all kinds of raggedy and not want to go anywhere and not want to do anything or deal with people. And that, I think, is a part of the journey that we are not told about, that we're not taught, is a part of what's normal. And I think maybe in the past, some of us have encountered that, been on the receiving end of what that feels like, and it wasn't pretty,
yeah.
And we just accepted it as that person's personality. But I feel as though going through this journey, the understanding that some days are not pretty, some opportunities don't always come in as perfect and with a beautiful bow on it, like the way that you want them to, but
mm-hmm.
every experience does teach you something. And so when you can keep pushing through, even when you just don't feel like it. And those are the days when somebody will show up on the Zoom, but they won't turn on their camera because they just need a minute. That's okay,
yeah.
too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It shows up in different ways, but if you can acknowledge it and accept it for yourself and then give grace to others around you when they are having those moments, it comes back, you know, tenfold, hundredfold, in terms of what it will mean for your growth and your business and how you weather the storm.
Ooh, that is so right. You dropped so many gems, and I thank you for that. I wanted to talk about the upcoming ebook that you are releasing on storytelling and how to tell your personal story more authentically. Tell us a little bit about this ebook.
The ebook, I came up with the funny, I chuckle because this is exactly what I'm talking about. The ebook, I came up with the idea earlier in the year, just because I felt that there's so much knowledge that can be shared, and as a service provider, it gets a little frustrating that there are only but so many hours in the day, and you can only help or just interact with so many people. And I think the ebook is an excellent opportunity for any creative professional to consider that route, just because what other way will you feel more accomplished about sharing your passion, the purpose, and just, you know, providing some visual understanding and representation of your work?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the ebook has been a little bit stalled because I have been sidetracked with, you know, keeping the plate spinning between all the other things that I, you know, caregiving, parenting, et cetera, and blah, blah, blah. So we're still definitely working toward a fall distribution date, but a fall launch, I should say. But at the same time, I do think that this time is great because it's helping me to get a better understanding of what I want to go into the book. What I can tell you is it covers the basics of, you know, how, like I said, what's a news hook? How do you identify the hero in your story? Who are you really speaking to when you're telling these stories? If you've got a story about your inspiration for starting, for creating a concept, are you really telling the story in the right way? Or are you tailoring it to the investor that you're speaking with or the prospective buyer? And then also for those of us who struggle with imposter syndrome, the most important thing that we need to tackle is kicking that imposter syndrome right in the teeth and just keep on going. Like, so just because you aren't sure if it's going to be a good story because it's your story, it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be told. And so that really is the heart and soul and the meat of why I wanted to write the book, because I do feel like as much as there are a bazillion articles out there about, you know, how to tell a story and, you know, here are these courses on how to do these things, something that really comes from the heart that says it's really not that hard if you kind of just take a step back and approach it this way and, you know, try not to feel intimidated about it, and understand that everything that you have to say about yourself and about your inspiration for what led you to where you are, there is value in it, and it's going to inspire someone else. So here's how you put the pieces together.
Wow. That is so good, and I just want to say I thank you so much for coming on Meaningful Conversations. Guys, if you want to learn more about Natalie Greaves and the Greaves Writers, which is her business, you can go to www.greaveswrites.com, or you can email her at natalie@greaveswriters.com. I thank you so much for coming on Meaningful Conversations. This was definitely an impactful episode, you know, radio interview, and I thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me, Erica. I mean, it's really, again, every conversation with you, the time just flies because I do feel like you – It's just a blessing to be able to connect with you and to talk and share and kind of work through real life scenarios.
Yes.
And so I am grateful to hope that anything that I said was helpful to your listeners.
Yes.
And also I'm more than happy to assist anyone who's interested in learning more about telling their own story. If you go to my website, greaveswrites.com, G-R-E-A-V as in Victor, E-S as in Sam, W-R-I-T-E-S, you will be able to download a free guide that kind of helps you to tell your story as a founder. And I also give free 15-minute consultations to kind of help you put the pieces together or just to see what it could sound like when you have a professional add a little bit of polish to it. So I thank you again,
mm-hmm.
and I thank your listeners for the time. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to hearing everyone on in their pursuit.
Thank you. Yes, and we are definitely going to, I'm going to reach out to your team and try to get you back on Meaningful Conversations, because this was definitely good. Time did go by fast, but I thank you so much, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Meaningful Conversations. I want to let you know that this was definitely a great episode. Make sure that you go to Miss Greaves' website. It is definitely, she just released a new website, and I love it. It's GreavesAgainWriters.com. Make sure that you tune in next week on July 14th as we go ahead and do our next interview with Miss Nina Cook. This is not something that you want to miss. I'll look forward to speaking with you all soon. Bye-bye.